The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Quiet. Be still. It's Advent. Please be seated. Every year at the beginning of Advent, in the chapel at Sewanee where I went to college, these little purple notes would appear all around, in the sacristy, in the lectern, in the side chapel, behind the door of the closet where our vestments hung. And on each of these narrow strips of paper were three short phrases: quiet, be still, it's Advent. We hear that message so often echoed in our churches at this time of year. Advent is a season of waiting, of expecting what is to come. It is a foil to the pre-Christmas rush that's alive and bustling in the world around us. And that's a really invaluable message to hear. Especially at this time of year, I know I find myself inundated with input, with the sights and sounds and smells, the advertisement after advertisement that assault the senses. They're convincing me of what I need, that are making me all too aware of what I supposedly lack. Quiet, be still, it's Advent. I find myself hungry for this message every time that I reach in my pocket and pull out a new list of tasks I can't avoid. Emails that need to be answered, or whatever else is distracting me from that moment, distracting me from wherever I am or whoever I'm with. Quiet, be still, it's Advent. It's a really profound message for this season. And while that's the Advent message that I really love and so often need to hear, it's really not what today's gospel is about. Or to be honest, any of today's readings. John the Baptist was neither quiet nor still. He's tirelessly covering the region around the Jordan, moving from town to town, from dusty village to dusty village, proclaiming what he knows to be true with an incredible sense of urgency, with incredible immediacy. He tells us that the one who brings salvation is coming. He calls us to be baptized, repent, be forgiven. There is no stillness. There is no quiet. There is no Advent waiting. And then we're confronted with that quote from Isaiah: "The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" The earth is not still. The earth is not quiet. This image is terrifying and violent. Imagine the whole world being overturned, the flattening of the hills, the raising up of the valleys, all those familiar features that help us navigate, that make up the world of our day-to-day lives, all that breaks the monotony of the horizon, gone. This really stuck with me as I drove up here yesterday afternoon and this morning. As I drove my way up 991, I looked out at the bluffs and the hills that line the highway. I looked at Sleeping Giant. I looked at these places that have become very familiar to me. They've become a part of my world. And I tried to imagine that landscape without them. I tried to imagine what that experience would be like of seeing those hills wiped level, of seeing the lower places brought up. It was a little terrifying. It was overwhelming. It was disorienting. That picture that Isaiah describes and that is restated about John, it's just this complete transformation. It seems like an Advent message so far from that quiet and be still that I was so used to, that I hold on to so tightly. It was more than just that warning against the busyness of modern life. And so what do we do with these competing images? How do we make sense of these two different pictures, these two descriptions of what Advent is? How do we reconcile the slow down and be quiet with those apocalyptic images of Isaiah? And where are we in all of that? What does that leave us to do at this time, but also throughout our lives? Are we just to sit and silently pray for what is to come? Or are we to go out into the world like John, proclaiming tirelessly the coming of Christ? Do we anticipate what's coming in that quiet meditation? Or do we really work and struggle to see it realized? It's important to recognize that we are waiting. We are waiting for the salvation promised us time and time again in the words of apostles, prophets, and saints. We are waiting for God's second coming. We are waiting for God to act. We're waiting for that moment when all flesh shall see the salvation to come. We wait because we're not in control of it. We wait because our hope is both for what is, that God is present with us, and also for what is to come, the realization of the kingdom of God in all its fullness. But that waiting is not meant to be passive. We're not simply to sit back in our pews, content and comfortable because we've got it, because God is coming for us, us good Christians who go to church on Sundays, who pledge and give money, service, time, who show up to events, who say our prayers from time to time, who say grace before meals, and all those outward signs. Now, the real challenge of John the Baptist's message is that waiting cannot be separated from preparation. While we wait for what God will do, the voice of the prophet calls us to live into this present moment, to prepare for that coming. This is the heart of John's message, to repent and be forgiven. His call of repentance and forgiveness demands being aware of ourselves and the world around us. While it can be so much easier to look ahead, to think of the glory to come, to think of better times, to think of what is merely at this moment possible, that's not what we're told to do here. While that glory of God being revealed on the earth may seem like a message so much more full of hope, we can't forget that that hope begins with the world today. It begins now. Any transformation must begin with that which is to be transformed. And so any hope of transformation that we have must begin in our own hearts, our minds, our communities, our state, our nation, the world as we experience it today. So the hope of transformation for a world with much brokenness requires us to see that brokenness for what it is. We cannot ignore the pain of a world reeling and lurching from one refugee crisis and mass shooting to the next. To begin to even imagine what the kingdom of God looks like, we must see things for what they are. Syrian refugee crisis, Paris, now California. These are our valleys to be raised up and our hills to be brought low. These are the things that are to be transformed in our world. And we cannot sit idly by while they go on, while the world suffers, hoping that it'll just all be worked out in the end. It is overwhelming. These issues are bigger than we are. And no one of us is going to straighten them out. No one of us is going to fix it. Nor should we tell ourselves that we can. But then again, thinking back to what John the Baptist is preaching, thinking back to that quote from Isaiah, we're not told how the valleys will be filled. We're not told how the mountains will be lowered. So I wonder, what if those words from Isaiah are not about a sudden and violent overturning, but the slow, methodical, intentional work of time, of hope, and love? And so if we think about the hills being brought down, not all in an instant, but one stone at a time, one shovel full, it all of a sudden becomes something much more real. It becomes something that we can take part in, that we can work on together. It all is all of a sudden less terrifying, less overwhelming. One shovel full at a time becomes so much more real. John is clear. Our Savior is coming. We're not the one who's being waited on. But we do have a role to play in the coming of that kingdom. We are not enough to end the suffering of the world. We're not going to make peace in this world around us. But we can each take on our shovelful. We can each identify those little ways that we can make a difference, that we can impact somebody's life, that we can feed the hungry or reach out to the lonely. The transformation of the world doesn't begin with the toppling of systems or the end to all suffering. It begins small. It begins as a stirring within each of us. It begins here. It begins now. John's baptism of repentance and forgiveness is first a baptism of inward transformation. It's about remaking and turning our hearts towards God. It's about preparing for the moment when that which is to come will arrive. But before any preparation in the world, we must first prepare that way within ourselves. Before working to transform the landscape outside of us, we're called to survey the landscapes of our own hearts. John's call to repentance and forgiveness is about turning towards God. It's about the process of inward transformation to begin, not for it to happen all at once. Preparation is a process. It's work. But that work does not preclude the waiting. It demands it. Be still. Quiet. It's Advent. In waiting, we open ourselves up to God's grace. We open ourselves up to see the work of God's love in the world. And in our waiting, we are being prepared to live more fully into God's call to live as Christ lived and still lives. Quiet. Be still. It's Advent. And so we prepare the way of the Lord one shovel full at a time, because we have that promise to hold on to, that all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. And we hold on to that because we're not shoveling alone. As we prepare ourselves, we clear way for God to work in us and through us, to work in and through our communities. And by that power of God working in us, we are empowered to prepare the world for every valley to be filled and for every hill to be lowered, one shovel full at a time. John the Baptist proclaims a new creation to come. He proclaims that everything will be transformed, but that transformation has to begin somewhere. It begins now. It begins with the turning of one single heart. So be quiet. Be still. It's Advent. And in that stillness, we can begin our turning towards God. We can enter into silence that drowns out all the other voices of the world and of our lives. And we can hear God calling us deeper into relationship with Him, deeper into service in the world, and deeper into the transformation that we are waiting for. The transformation that's radical enough to fill valleys and lower mountains. Quiet. Be still. It's Advent.